All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. We're doing it on a Friday. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're about to get to it with these Memphis Grizzlies. There's going to be a lot of that because they're, of course, back in action. Game two tonight in Houston. Memphis Grizzlies, 1-0. And then it's back home tomorrow for Orlando in what will be the home opener. And we're certainly hoping that Jaren Jackson is back for that one. In the meantime, though, you are a 3.5-point underdog against Dylan Brooks. And the Houston Rockets will be talking a ton about Grizzlies line. I don't know if you saw it last night, John, but I thought Klay Thompson. It was weird first seeing him in a Dallas Mavericks uniform. Thought he looked pretty good. Man had 6 3-pointers last night. Helped Dallas to a win. Minnesota bounce back win. We'll talk plenty of NBA. I had the nose of a bloodhound yesterday in terms of finding an opportunity for my man, my partner, John Martin, last night in Thursday Night Football. How about those Rams? Delta shot to the NFC North in their win over the Vikings. Obviously, World Series starts tonight. Huge sports weekend. A ton to get to. And then just absolutely gut-wrenching news that broke yesterday down in South Florida, obviously, with the news that Amir Abdul-Rahim, at just 43 years old, and here just a couple of weeks before the season scheduled to start, passed away due to complications from a medical procedure. It just leaves you, you know, 43 years old, big family, wife, you know, Jordan Mensah, a former Memphian local product, now the Jacksonville coach, distraught because they were close friends. I was following along on some of his posts, just sad, sad news, obviously, John, and rocked the college basketball world yesterday.
Yeah.
He was a friend to many, it seemed, like, you know, in one of those up-and-coming coaches that a lot of folks had pegged as, you know, this is going to be a star in the business. And so, you know, relationship, college basketball and coaching is relationships. And so, so many thought so much of Abdul-Rahim, and it was so sad yesterday to hear that news.
Yeah, I mean, he was absolutely on the, you know, on the fast track. It felt like, I mean, USF won the league, you know. Obviously, his team had been kind of rated as a result of the portal, which is kind of the way it goes. But there is no question that he was well on his way to becoming, you know, a Power Five coach, a Power League coach, and felt like was just getting started. You know, because he took that Kennesaw State team to the tournament a couple of years ago, and again he was climbing the ladder, and. Yeah, 43 years old. That's you know, I'm 33.
Yeah,
you're older than 43.
Yeah, just turned 48.
You know, I think about if, you know, you tell me right now, I got 10 more years. Well, when I was 23, that felt like yesterday. You know, it's just not that much time, and obviously that's way too young, way too young.
No, my dad was said, let this be a reminder to you, son. You know, my dad now in his 70s, but said to you, son. Don't take your health for granted. You know, you're in your 40s. You think you feel good or whatever else, but obviously there are things you need to be checking, and that, you know, may not even apply in this case. But my dad's point was, you know, don't take it for granted, which I think applies in a lot of areas here. Obviously,
absolutely right. So that is an immense loss for college basketball, for the American, you know, obviously that program is reeling. At this moment,
yeah.
I mean, two weeks before your season starts, you know, not that it would have ever been a good time, but yeah, that's about as difficult as it gets. So, rest in peace to Amir Abdul-Rahim, in a career that was so promising, that was cut so abruptly short. He will certainly be missed. Got a show today. We're gonna be joined by Anthony Sain in the first hour in studio. We'll talk to him about these Memphis Grizzlies. And they're back in action tonight. Did confirm this on the FanDuel Sports Network.
Yeah,
a lot of people.
Well, that it's going to be that way.
A lot of people wondering.
Just take Bally's out of your vocabulary.
That's right, Bally's is gone. So we'll talk to Anthony Sain about that. get his thoughts on the new network and sort of the complications that kind of have come with it. Why it's because you're seeing around the league, not every team is doing this, but a lot of teams are doing this. They have local broadcasts. They have, you know, Chicago's got a local broadcast. You know, Phoenix has a local broadcast. Lots of teams have said, you know what, we're going to offer it to our fans in the market. Why the Grizzlies have not done that, I don't know. I'm sure they have a reason for that, but you know, that would be nice because it would solve a lot of problems that people seem to be having. But we'll talk to Anthony Sinn about that. They're back in action tonight against the Houston Rockets. Catch that game here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Talk about the Jaws got a thing this weekend, too.
Jaws got a thing this weekend.
The Nike thing, the get up, the pop-up thing.
The pop-up get up.
I had the new colorway of Ja 2s dropped today. Your boy Smooth laid off. I'm going to wait.
You're going to wait?
Yeah, those new ones, he had them on the other night to open the season. I don't know if y'all saw them. They were red. I think it's the second pair of Ja 2s that have dropped.
Yeah.
They dropped for the public today.
Yeah.
But your boy Smooth abstained.
So what is it?
I denied myself.
They're red?
They're red.
Yeah.
Nightmare. They're sort of a Halloween version. They got some handsome ghouls reaching up on the back there. I'm going to, you know.
Kind of like that.
The red shines, bro. It pops.
Yeah.
But I don't have a lot of red in my wardrobe, so I'm going to wait on the next one, which I believe is called Foundation.
Right. Which
they're
is which
black.
Which was sinking.
They go with everything. My Foundation.
Not
in Raleigh. Not the Foundation now. Not the Foundation now at Cordova.
So I kind of like these, Jay.
I know. They stand up. Bro, he should have done them first.
And he's got the eyeballs on the back.
Yeah, the eyeballs on the back. It's really cool for Halloween. It's called Nightmare. The kids are going to love them.
Mm-hmm.
They dropped today. He had them on for game one in the win. Yes.
I'm going to buy them.
Good for you. What I think, George, I think
buy King George.
George, I think they're 130.
They're 130.
So John's going to be dropping 130 here, plus shipping and handling. No, you're over 100. Probably won't have to pay that. A little tax on there, though.
You think you with, bro?
I'm glad I could put you on.
I didn't know they were Halloween.
They dropped today, and they're Halloween themed, called Nightmare today.
I'll tell you this.
Second version.
And he's got like are those his molded teeth on the?
I have no idea what that is. I have
those are teeth.
Okay.
And they have Morant on the Morant.
Could have charged $150 for those.
Could have easily charged.
There's a grill on the shoe, y'all.
There's a grill on the shoe. Now we don't know if it's molded.
You can't actually put it in.
But
don't start thinking that.
I know you know as a Christian, it's All Hallows Eve for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Halloween. It's not you don't celebrate the devil.
No, we do a harvest festival.
Harvest fest.
You know.
That's right.
And for some reason, you laugh at it.
No,
every
I'm not laughing.
You
I'm
shouldn't.
Not laughing. But
you shouldn't.
I think y'all
you
need to acknowledge
laugh.
That
Let's
Halloween is okay, though. Y'all need to just say.
We just don't mess with 666. We don't mess
we ain't saying you
with ghouls
mess with 666.
And goblins. You understand?
Yeah.
There is a devil.
Yeah.
You know about him.
Yeah.
Don't mess with all them ghosts you're talking about.
Yeah. King George is producing the show today.
Love to have King George here with
King
us.
George.
Welcome.
Are you a Halloween guy?
I mean, yeah.
Do you like get up for it?
Not get up for it. I mean, if the occasion, you know, if we
right.
got a party going on or something,
yeah.
or, you know, we've
yeah.
gone up to Nashville for
okay.
up there Broadway for it once or twice.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, it sounds like a man
oh,
takes
yeah.
it very seriously.
Yeah. No, he needs to acknowledge he gets up for it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. you this man is a man
you're
who
going
used
out
to be
of town
King George.
For it.
He used to get up for it. Man, have his whole
the kids.
Beauty and the Beast suit
yeah.
on. I mean,
we had some pretty epic Halloween parties, no doubt about that. Two, in fact.
Don't do it anymore.
But we can't. It's crazy because we have a
He's
bigger house,
kids.
A better situation to do it, but we can't do it because of the kids. You know, so, I mean, I guess we could do it, but it ain't, you know, when I throw a party, bro, I'm trying
Dude,
to
stop.
You know, get after
grow,
it.
Grow up.
I
told my kid the same thing. That, what do you mean you're going trick-or-treating again?
He's 10.
He's got a freaking costume.
You can go trick-or-treating when you're 10.
This got to be the last time.
No, I think the
That's
last
time. And his mom's
no,
going to have
think,
it because Lord knows I let off a while
up
back.
To 12. I think when you get to 13, it's
I
time
just
to stop.
Hate begging for candy.
But I know you do get to a point where you're like, everybody else is like 5 years old. And
yeah.
You're like, I don't want to go up.
We got another costume?
Right.
But you going to be a ninja this year?
Ain't is that, is that his costume?
No, it's one of those damn, you know, the like the.
Oh, that's that.
One
you know,
of those, like, inflatable
the gas,
ones?
I had no words, King George. You've seen him at gas stations. It's the flopping arms, the air thing. You know, it's a real tall, you know what I'm
yeah,
talking
about? Yeah, yeah.
I know it. Inflatable is the best I can do. Just
okay.
I didn't even know that was a Halloween costume.
Yeah, they've added that now.
That's news to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you sound excited about it.
I can certainly refer you, King George. I'll let Chris contact you and tell you where you got that costume from.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna buy these shoes though, man. I'm
glad we could put you on that.
You think he'll be wearing them tonight
on the get up weekend? He's my guess is he's gonna be wearing the next one that's gonna drop.
Okay.
He always wears them before the drop. You
yeah,
understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got it.
My guess is he'll switch it up tonight.
Yeah,
to the foundation.
He's just going hard, bro.
Yeah, I like
the problem is,
it almost looks like there's a little suede on him, too. You see what I'm saying?
There's
in
definitely
terms of the
suede.
Fabric right
there's
there. I like how that's a different look than the other one.
And you can definitely tell,
it's faux suede.
That this shoe is much sleeker.
Sleeker. That's the word.
You know,
it's thinner.
It's not as chunky.
Right.
As the last
one. Oh, all three of the new colorways have been.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they look like they, and they will be that. That's
what do you call the, what's the bottom of the shoe called, bro? What's
the sole, fool.
Yeah, I don't know the sole, but like, it's like I can't remember what it's called. It's different.
Okay.
The finish is different.
Thank you.
You know, that's not the word I was looking for.
Well, yeah, you didn't add anything with that addition.
But yes, it's a different material.
Oh, okay.
It's a different material on the bottom of the shoe this year. Anyway, you can't wear this tonight because you're playing a team that wears red in the Houston Rockets.
Do you have, real quick, you have red in your wardrobe? You don't care. You don't match it up. See,
no,
that's,
I mean,
You
know, that's that old, like, you, that's that old school you, bro. You're the guy that has to go to the jazz club, got to wear everything the same color.
It's called matching.
Yeah, bro. I mean, I'll match. It won't be like I'm wearing a green, like I'm not like the Grinch that stole Christmas. But it ain't gonna be
if you in a room in your house, right, and you're furnishing a room.
Yeah,
you're not just gonna have, right, just a wall that's got one color and a wall that's got another color and then a wall that's got wallpaper that doesn't make any sense, right? It's gonna match up.
Yeah,
same thing applies.
Yeah, I mean, again,
to the look,
I don't have to wear a Russian jumpsuit. A red Russian jumpsuit.
Where with your red tracksuit that you only look one time? That Russian suit.
I could do that.
Do it one time.
I'll whip that hoe out just for you.
And I will take pictures, and you'll never hear the end of it.
I'd be like, damn, who is that? They'd be like, that's the freshest white boy in Memphis right there, bro.
Where is your Nike?
Parts unknown, brother. Parts unknown. We have it's not cold
John
enough.
You just got so lit up that day. You've never worn it again.
Well, it's incredibly vibrant.
Yeah, it's.
I didn't realize it was as red as it was. I mean, it's not just red. That joint is like red light district.
Yes.
You know.
USSR.
For sure. Like.
And that's what you look like in it.
You go. Yeah.
Drago.
No, it's Soviet Union.
Yes.
You know. Yes. So I mean, for real, it was too red.
Okay. Well, you can wear it one more time with your new job.
Yeah, I think I'll do that. But anyway, thanks for the shout here. I'll definitely be copping these. So Anthony Sain's going to join us at 11:25. Looking forward to that.
All right.
We'll talk NFL today. We'll talk NBA and some college basketball, as always. But as we tend to do throughout the week, King George is going to assist us here. Let's do a little over, under. All right, George, kick us off, man. Kick us off with what we're going to be breaking down here.
We're going to get started with the margin of defeat for the Grizzlies set at 3.5. Points.
There we go. Look at George, man. I'm proud of you, King George.
Smooth,
you just sliding right in, man. All right, so 3.5. I think it is actually down to 3 last I checked. So it got up to 3.5. Now it's down to 3. No Jaren tonight, most likely. He was upgraded to doubtful, but we know how that works, right? You get upgraded to doubtful.
It's a good thing.
We'll see him probably tomorrow against the Orlando Magic.
Yeah, and he'll be questioned.
Orlando Magic.
But he'll play.
Listen, I think this is probably over for the Grizzlies, over 3 in terms of margin defeat, just because it's not a great spot at all. You know, they've been on the road. Houston is 0-1 and super
gave
pissed
up a
off.
Lead in that first game.
Yeah, and Taylor Jenkins has been very forthright about how he plans to manage minutes here, pretty actively. So I think this is just one of those NBA games that, I mean, look, you have John Morant. I'm not going to sit here and say that you can't win the game, but it just feels way more like a Houston Rockets spot to me than it does Grizzlies. They're going to go all out tomorrow for the home opener against the Magic. That's how I feel. Although, look, you can't really just punt these games. I mean, the Rockets are in that sort of
absolutely
bucket with you.
They are.
So,
until
you know,
you prove otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that the Grizzlies are punting this game, but I could just see a situation where Houston cares way more about it, given where they are in their season.
Would probably agree with you. I don't know. It'd probably be a little bit more fun to be on the other side of you here tonight. And you're right. As long as you got Ja Morant, there's always the possibility that you handle business here. Grizzlies, as we said, and should be underdogs. Alperen Sengun's off to a good start. You wonder what that matchup's going to look like against Zach Hedy, especially in, you know, coming off of a Game 1 performance where Zach Hedy was, let's be real, dominated by Walker Kessler. And so you'd like to think, okay, after 5 out of game, 15 minutes, Zach's going to be, you know, go out there and adopt. You're getting a really good player in Sengun. And so it's going to be, you know, it won't just be a game where Zach Hedy can focus on getting the ball. Hey, let me get going offensively. He's going to have to defend too. And so that matchup is obviously one we'll have our eyes on, and probably one that clearly Houston should have the advantage in based on what Sengun has done so far. I'm just going to roll with you here. We were together last night.
Yep.
You know, and I want to stay with you.
Thank you.
So I'm going to go here that, and it's no fun.
Right.
But I had Memphis 2-1 through the first three. And since you already got the first
exactly.
one there, you get the home win against Orlando. It'll match up with where I think.
Yeah.
And that's obviously, you know, you start your first two on the road, you go 2-1 through the first three. I think you're satisfied.
Exactly. Because, you know, the market open, Rockets -1.5. Right,
no so Stephen Adams. By the way,
it's just been getting bet out and bet out and bet out. I also have the over two. I text you this 218.5. I bet it yesterday because I just feel like the market is not quite caught up to the pace of these Grizzlies.
Yeah,
and now it's out to 224.
Well, other thing too, we liked how they shot it. We liked that they shot more of them, and we liked that 17 of them went in. Can you do that again?
Yeah,
because again, remember, everybody on the bench except for Brandon Clark, Scottie Pippen Jr. hit a three.
Yeah.
Like you were rolling for the most part.
You shot
and
that's well.
And let's see, can you continue that? Because that's what we've questioned. Is there enough shooting on this team? You were 29th last year and 3-point field goal percentage, something that's obviously got to improve. Let's see if this, you know, or forget just the starters, but obviously if that bench can continue to shoot the ball well.
Picking up from that matchup there, Alperen Sengun points 19.5.
Yeah, so we were talking about this just before the show started. Obviously, this is a huge matchup for Zach Edey because it's very different. It's very different than, you know, Walker Kessler, for example, or Khalil Ware. Or whatever.
Much more offensive-oriented in terms of the guy.
Sengun is a guy that is just incredibly crafty, and he's going to try to get you in foul trouble. That's going to be his main thing. He's going to be trying to get you in the air.
And we just saw him in foul trouble against a guy who wasn't offensively.
So I'm going to go over on Sengun. I think Zach Edey's going to be kind of going through it tonight. I mean, and that's it. Right? This is a baptism. When you get thrown out there and you're starting from day one as a rookie, it's a baptism. No night is going to be necessarily easy in the league. And, you know, I think Sengun is probably a guy, even more so than someone that's Zach Edey's height, that I think he's going to struggle with just because Sengun's a veteran. He's been in the league. He knows exactly how to get guys in foul trouble. It's what he does. He knows how to finish around the basket. So I'll go over 19.5. I think that's probably good.
And that loss to Charlotte at home, 110-105, in which they gave up that lead, and they're probably, you got Ime Udoka saying, look, we can't do this again. Speaking of tonight's game, he had 25-18, 5 assists, 4 steals. I mean, just – you know, super active tonight. I could see Edey being in a blender. And I don't want to heap expectations on Zach Edey coming in game two of your rookie season when you're facing a guy that's this skilled. The likelihood is it's going to be over here. Sengun's probably going to have his way and probably going to get to a point where he's got Jay Huff on him, to be honest with you. Zach Edey's going to see another side of the NBA tonight in terms of a skilled big. I'll go over here. That sounds like we're hating on the Grizzlies here, but
no, I mean, this look, is probably 82 freaking games, man.
this is probably, and remember, defensively, you weren't great night one against Utah, and a lot of that's because you don't have Jaren Jackson Jr. At some point, you figure that's probably going to haunt you.
Yeah, like what I would say too is like, I mean, if we think the Rockets win the game, right? How are they going to win the game? It's probably with, you know, Alperen Sengun going over 19.5.
Going straight at Zach Edey.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green can't have good days, but, like, Sengun is probably their best offensive player.
I mean, well, don't you think? I mean, Ime's a smart coach.
Yeah, I mean, Ime's really good.
You get Zach Edey out of the game, get him in foul trouble, what's down exactly there defensively right. to worry about? Exactly. So why wouldn't that be the point of attack?
I do think, well, let's see what Jalen Green's overs are, because I do think he'll have a nice night. Let's see. Because who's guarding him?
Well, I figured
Marcus
Smart going to try.
21.5. I think over there is
I don't
too.
Know if we're in the best of shape. We will give him some vet stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we're in the best of shape to hold Jalen Green tonight.
Yeah, well, here's what we're going to do. We have a few more things that we'll save for a little bit later. Anthony Sain is here. We're going to talk to him about this matchup, the season, what he made of the first game. Lots more to come. Stick around. Anthony Sain on the other side. Jason and John, Adichana FM, ESPN.
NBA's back and fans. And FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Because right now, FanDuel's giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass, and all you have to do to catch every tip-off and buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA. Grizzlies, obviously a great storyline. 46.5 was the season win total. John and I feel pretty good after game one. How you feeling? Plenty of other storylines, including the Celtics. They have looked good so far at 2-0. Find your favorite and then put together your same game parlay. New to FanDuel? Just visit FanDuel.com/JaySmith to get those 3 months of NBA League Pass courtesy of FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA and official partner of 929 FM ESPN. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. After 3 months free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel any time, no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789. Anthony Sane is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media, tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist, founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sane. Need to add one, Sane, that I've been leaving off.
Yeah, yeah.
Co-host 901 Wrestling.
Yes, sir.
With a man, show. Kevin Cerrito, does a fantastic job. Next one's going to be down at Minglewood Hall next month. I believe the last show of 2024. Had an unbelievably good time on Sunday at the last show, 901 Wrestling. Yep. Y'all do a great job. There ain't no question about it, man. I'm starting to get jealous because all the wrestlers are appearing on Jeffrey Wright's show.
Oh, and we
so
got
we're,
you,
we're going
we
to see
you.
If we can remedy that at some point. We've got a ton to talk to you about, and obviously we have a first game that the Memphis Grizzlies have played to ask you about and all your thoughts on all the performances. Let's start where you want to start in terms of what you thought coming off of that win over Utah. Where was your mind first?
The maturity level of John Morant and Desmond Bain. To the point where we've always been the young team where we've been very good, very talented. When we get against the older, more veteran teams, they kind of little boy us and put us back where we're supposed to be, right?
Yep.
Ja and Bane are those guys now. They're older. Jaren as well, they're older. And I'm looking to see how Jaren looks when he comes back, too. I'm really looking to see what he looks like because so many things are going to be played different and handled different because Jaren's on the court. Things that teams are doing to Edie now, they won't be able to do when Jaren is there. You know what I mean? So that was the number one thing that stood out to me, that you had these guys playing like the limited minutes that you played these guys in. When it was winning time, they came in and was like, all right, bro, we know what to do. Let's tuck these guys in and go home. You know what I mean? Yep. Like,
and to your point, Houston couldn't do that against Charlotte in that point. Right. And that's a team you should be able to – you should be mature enough to do it against.
And I heard y'all talking earlier about the Houston thing. It's a major factor that y'all are leaving out. Ja Morant ain't losing to no Dylan Brooks team at all this year. Like, I guarantee you. Like I hear y'all saying that this game don't matter to them. This game matters to them because Dylan Brooks acted an ass in FedEx Forum when he hit that game winner last year.
Oh, I just think it matters more to Houston. They lose at home to Charlotte. You know, like teammates going to have them
on. I think that we're pretty locked in. And it depends on how they manage the minutes, though, because – they got a home game tomorrow, back-to-back, all those type of things. But if it's anywhere close, I think we're going to pull it out. If Houston comes out there and just blitzes us, I can see them kind of pulling the cord early or whatever. But if it's close, Ja's going to get that win. Because he's making the game look so easy and efficient at this point of his career. Like, he literally was out there playing with Utah, screaming at the fans at every point. And he wasn't even in the game long. He just come in, do some job stuff, and all right, I guess I'll go sit back down again. Then he'd come back, all right, let me go do some job stuff again. And he just looked so much more.
He did.
The game looked super easy. Scoring the basketball looked super easy to him against Utah. And I think we'll just see more of the same. Same thing with Desmond Bane, bro. They just look like men out there, I'm not going to say playing with boys, but they look like grown-ass men out there with other guys on the court. So I think those type of things matter. Trying to see. And Santi Aldama, man. And people always roll my eyes when I heard people talk about, well, we need to keep Zaire because he looks so good with Ja, right? Or he looks so much better with Ja. We saw what an actually good basketball player looks like with Ja Morant, and that's what Santi Aldama the other night. And Ja just totally unlocks his game. This new offense really works for Santi a lot. You know, he's a European player, European style of play that we're playing now. Santi really looks good in this offense. I was talking to Chris Ingram. I don't even know if I told you this, Jason Smith, but we do a shock podcast. When I say a shock drop podcast, we don't announce when we're doing it. A late night show me and Chris Ingram do with a familiar name. I had to dig back in the vault of something a project me and you were doing. We call it Grind Season After Dark, After Hours.
I miss Grind.
It takes me back.
Yeah, we got to get you on, man. We start late, though, man. It might be 11 o'clock at night by the time you hop on.
Oh, he's way asleep.
Yo, that man dreaming about 11 o'clock at night.
As soon as I start talking about Zach Eady, you're going to put me off the show.
Exactly. But yeah, my boy, but yeah, I was telling Chris that I'm not going to say that what we've seen from Santi isn't real. We saw it all preseason, and we've seen him shooting the ball well in the preseason. I think that in this offense, and that's something else too, the Grizzlies made a lot of threes.
Yes, sir.
And people are like, well, that's not how we shoot. There's a difference between being able to shoot, make threes, take and make threes when you have an actual flowing offense where you know there's going to be open shots, you know there's going to be open looks. And then you're it's a difference between that and when you're playing in the system where just give Ja the ball and let Ja make something happen. It's a totally different level of comfort. And in this offensive flow, I don't know if these shots are real or not. I don't know if the shots they're making are real or not. But I'm going to bet that I'm going to hope that they are. But I like that. Zach Eady had a tough game. I'm not going to say as expected because he was part of a parlay I had him in that fell a little bit short.
Oh, man, did it.
I had him for 10 points. I needed 10 points and 8 rebounds out of him. Couldn't get it.
No, John Collins said, you're not doing that.
Yeah, he fouled out at a record time. But you did see his impact on the game. Just being a big-ass dude, we saw the impact of him being on the court and the things he was able to do. As soon as he fouled out, Utah went on a big run. He's just a guy that just demands a lot of attention. And you have to respect him being on the court. And I think as he continues to adjust to the NBA physicality, speed, and the whistle of the NBA, the things he can and can't get away with, we've seen him adjust to those things game by game in preseason. I think in the next, 5 to 10 games, we'll kind of see more of what Zach Eady is. There might be a breakout game tonight. Houston, they only have one true big, and Sengun, Steven Adams is still out. You know, if he gets matched up somewhere against somebody on their bench, who knows what that can look like. Sengun's a guy who's going to kind of play into the way he wants to play as well. So we'll see how the whole thing works out. And Sengun's maybe 6'9", 6'10", and Edie's, a big boy. So this might be a game where Eady, actually has a good game. But I'm excited for it, man. The season looks incredible. Like I said, I like the way things are going, especially when you get your full catalog of guys.
Yeah.
You got Vince, who's probably, a week or so away, Kennard, GG, probably a month or so away. I'm excited. Of course, Jaren's going to be here, tomorrow. So I'm excited, man. The season looks really good. I like a lot of what I'm seeing so far.
Yeah.
And then another thing, too, man, I'm a guy who gives Taylor Jenkins fair criticism when it's due, and I got to give him fair praise. Like, Jalen Wells being the first guy he pulls off the bench, I did not expect that at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to give him props from that, man. From judging by what you see, you saw this kid have a tremendous preseason. And he's a guy, if nothing else, he can take and make shots. He can craft the dribble a little bit and make teams have to respond to him. He gives effort on defense. Having him being the first guy you bring in off the bench, big time. I think he left him out there drowning too long at the end of the game because he couldn't. When the foul whistles were just going crazy and Utah was just going to the line for literally doing nothing but getting fouled by Jalen Wells, I was like, all right, coach, you should have stopped that bleeding a long time ago and came back with Marcus Smart and Ja a few possessions earlier. That's my only criticism that I had as far as rotation is concerned. He's short so many guys right now. He's got to play who he's got to play. And we've got six games in 9 nights, so you can't just kill the guy. So I don't have any problem with that. But how we closed the game, I thought that Smart and Ja should have came back earlier. Because when they came in, the game was over. When you had your starters out there with Huff, the game was over.
Yeah, I thought, one of the – we'd heard so much about the style of play in the offseason and a new revamping of the coaching staff. For so many years, this franchise has tried to be sort of the outlier, right? They tried to play a different way. When the league is zigging, they want to zag. It feels like they're zigging, right? It kind of feels like they are saying, hey, we acknowledge and we see exactly where this thing is going, and we know we have to take 41 threes a game if we want to win a championship.
Yeah. And I like that. Plus, you have a big man that you can, if you need to slow things down, you can kind of work things through him. And I'm just really ready to see Eady kind of turn into what I think he's going to be soon. And I think that's going to happen probably in the next 5 to 10 games, like I said. Because once you get your offense rolling, guys know where they're supposed to be.
Yep.
Your rotations are getting kind of set. You're going to have everybody back except for Gigi in the next, 5 to 10 games.
Yep.
I think that you'll really see a lot of good things from this team. I'm excited about this year, man. I really think that we're going to be one of the top teams in the West, period. And I'm looking forward to all that.
Because not to cut you off, but the Kings are a great example of this, right?
Yeah.
They shot 29 threes in their home opener.
Mm.
They lose. They shot 46% from the floor and 38% from three.
Just didn't take enough.
But they didn't take it right. Yeah. The Wolves shot 50 threes, mm-hmm. made 20. So it just becomes, you know, we know what right. the Celtics are going to do, right? So if you're one of those teams, it kind of feels like the Grizzlies were that like 2 years ago, right? Yeah. They were going to play that mid-range with Ja and the floater and, mm-hmm. and rely on Bane for the threes. You got to have more shooting, yeah. bro.
And I think that people got to understand that the three-point shot just opens up so much stuff, just the threat of the three-point shot. If you can get teams to just play you honest from the three-point line,
yep,
it lets Ja just go out there and just – do literally whatever he wants to
exactly.
do. And if we get Zach going, it can be so crazy if we can just continue to get guys. That's why a guy like Jalen Wells coming into the game and hitting his first basket, it just opens up the game. A guy like Jay Huff comes in, takes his first shot, splashes it. It just makes teams have to respect you when those guys come in and they're ready to take and make those shots. So I think, like I said, man, this Grizzlies team this year with the maturity, the additional shooting we have on the team, we can be really good, man. Health and those type of things can make this team really good. Because I love this new offense because
yep.
they're not – it's their fallback. Like, if they're going to use that as their default or whatever, and then, you know, Ja's going to come in, he's going to do Ja stuff. He's going to pick his spots when he needs to do, you know, just go do Ja stuff. But you can always fall back to running your sets. You can get some really good looks. I love it, man. I love this offense. Shout out to Taylor Jenkins for getting out of the way and letting his new guys come in. And what you see, it looks like pieces of all the guys that they brought in, whether it be Noah LaRoche or Tomas Isolo. It looks like a collaboration of guys putting their skills to the table, looking at this roster and saying, okay, let's make an offense that works for this team. And I think as the season goes on, we'll see more and more wrinkles of this offense really play to our benefit, for sure.
What's your confidence level in Marcus Smart? There was obviously a lot of conversation mm-hmm. about what shape he's in, how much he will contribute eventually. Mm-hmm. Where are you on Marcus Smart after game one?
Physically, like aesthetically, he looks out of shape. Like he looks bad, right? But like actually watching him, he looks faster this year than he looked coming into the season last year.
And faster?
Because he's playing much more up-tempo than he was last year. Last year, he was trying to play like Boston plays, like getting to a half-court set. He's actually getting the ball up court more this year. He looks a little bit more spry about the things he's doing. He looks bad. Like, his body-wise, he looks bad. But it does seem like he's moving better to me. He came in the game the other night, and I know he got a bucket going to the basket. He did an old man move with a rip through,
draw the foul. Yeah, that was Vince.
He tried to draw a foul. They called it a blocking foul. But a lot of his poise in the end of the game, you know, closed that game out for us. Those are things that Marcus Smart is going to do. And I think once we get over this 6 games and 9 nights thing, and we kind of play real rotation minutes for these guys,
mm-hmm.
we'll kind of see more of what Marcus Smart can do. Because I'm the type of person, I know it's kind of in vogue for people to kind of crap on Marcus Smart. That's not the energy I have for him at all.
I'm in the same boat.
Yeah, I need him to be either good for us or good for somebody else. I really hope he's good because either he's good to the point where we say, hey, we want to keep this guy around. He's playing great defense, playing up and down in the starting lineup.
Right.
And he's a guy that another team wants and we can move him. I think that's ultimately what's going to happen this year. I think they're going to trade Marcus Smart sometime this season. The last year of his contract is next year. You got Luke Kennard on the expiring. Just being honest, it hurts my heart to say this, man. My chest is burning thinking about this. It's especially with Jay Huff on this team, and if Santi is good as well, and Jaren, who's always played backup five type minutes as well.
BC.
Brandon Clark may not be part of the long term.
Yeah, man. He can't make threes.
And if I'm not going to say he doesn't have bounce anymore because he's even said, I'm just playing the game smarter. I'm not going to play above the rim as much as I used to. But it's just kind of, if you got Santi who can do a lot of stuff, you got Huff that can do a lot of stuff, Jaren, of course, and you got Edie. BC is just kind of, I could very well see a situation where two of those three guys,
yep.
or all three, may be involved in some type of trade deadline consolation. Deal for sure. And I'm keeping my eyes on all that type of stuff.
Yeah, because you're paying Brandon Clark.
Yeah. There's a lot of interesting names out there that I would look at.
And I feel like with the way that they have committed to playing,
mm-hmm.
right, Brandon was like best for the old way.
Yeah.
Santi is best for the new way.
Yeah. Him and Santi have looked good together in their minutes in this offense. But if Jay Huff is really good, like if he's a guy who can give you 6 to 8 points a game,
yep.
you know, take and make 2, 3, 4 three-pointers a game, Yes.
Because Santi's really, going to be really up here soon, right?
Yeah, yeah. Santi's contract is up.
This is so, last year.
Yeah, so yeah. You have to pay him. I mean, you can't let Santi walk.
They've said this is essentially a prove-it year for him. Yeah. That's why they could have extended
him already.
So far,
he's proven it. I mean, it's one game.
If Santi's a guy who – he's not going to be scoring 27 points a game.
No, he won't.
But if he's a guy that can give you 12, 15, take and make two or three, four three-pointers a game –
he could be the Grizzlies' Naz Reid.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's yeah. You know, I mean, versatile, can make the 3-8.
Right now he's starting, but in a week or so, you're asking him to, okay,
yes.
get all the Jake LaRavia minutes that are getting right now.
Exactly.
You know, he's going to be a guy who can play up and down as well.
No question.
You can steal some minutes with Santi playing alongside Jaren and Zach Edey.
Exactly. Like
you can get –
no question.
You can steal minutes with
I would hate to let a 23-year-old Santi walk, bro.
Yeah, because he's looking like – he looks good in this offense, man. I hate to say it because I had Santi on my trade list. But I'm looking at how he looks so far this season and how Ja's able to just really totally unlock him. I'm like, yeah, bro, like, nah.
Yep.
Yeah, I think Santi needs to be here for a minute.
Yep, sure. I think
that. Well, and there's no reason that just because the jump didn't happen after FIBA that it's not going to happen after Olympics. Like, mm-hmm. He played well, too, in the Olympics. Like, at right. some point – this it could really right. click.
And
well,
then now you've changed the system. Him, we were also asking him to take a leap on a team that had no Ja Morant for 25
very true.
Games.
Very true.
Marcus Smart out of shape yep. and nothing but Jaren and Bane
point,
and no
look,
real playmakers.
Look how good he was down the stretch, cutting to the basket in those key moments yep. where Ja was setting
right.
him up. To your point, he yep. didn't have that.
No, he still
and,
has
he didn't have
seven
that
feet,
last year.
He's 7 feet tall. He can score easily on those type of plays. And shout out to the Grizzlies for actually utilizing the dunker spot this year as well, which is something we've never done, which is crazy. But shout out to them doing that as well.
Yeah, to be clear, he still does have an out of shape Marcus Smart, but he does have he does have Ja though. Like he yeah. does, which is.
But Smart looks better this year than he did last.
No,
we're gonna have
time.
To get that
so
Sports Center miles per hour out. We're
go
gonna
back,
have,
go back
he's
and
heavier,
watch.
But he's moving fast.
Go back
that's,
and watch.
That's the claim you're making.
I think he was hurting that's, last year. I think like you know hurting up in his gut. Like you know he had the ab stuff going on. And I think he had some other injury stuff going on.
But did you see the play when Ja tried to throw in the outlet and he just gave up on it? He's like, my bad, bro. My bad. This ain't Oklahoma State.
I'm going to tell you what tripped me out with Jalen Wells did not know, dude, just throw the ball up. There were two blown plays that Jalen had. So you'll learn in time, kid. You'll learn for sure.
Yeah, so, that. I mean, don't you think tonight is interesting? You think Edie's going to have a good night
He could
tonight.
Have a good game. Like
I feel like Sengun was kind of going to give him the business.
They're going to try to foul him out.
I'm telling y'all, bro, y'all forgetting that Zach Edey is an operating system, man. Like, he's – I think the stuff that he – his eyes got to blinking another night when he was messing up and Ja was yelling at him. I'm telling you, man.
And I'm telling you, Collins, man, he didn't come off, but he Collins was in his head.
But in the same, Rockets were trying to do the same thing.
And he missed those free throws.
But in the same time, y'all talking about what Collins was doing, Edie took Collins out of the game too because Collins, like, he had that time where he was going crazy, like getting out, like where Edie clearly got under his skin and he got to, you know, they got to foul and all that type of stuff. And Collins, like, after that, you didn't see him no more. Like, he faded out of the game, so – I'm telling y'all, bro, like, if you watch a lot of stuff that Edie's saying, like, I think Brevin talked about this the other night. He said that Ja told Edie, when we get down court, run to the rim. Just run to the rim. And that makes – that's clearing up things even more because he's taking his man and putting him under the basket as opposed to being in the lane. It's a lot of stuff that Edie does that helps, whether he's scoring or not. He's just got to stay on the floor and not get in foul trouble because there's so many things. Like I said, he's not – the thing about Edie, too, is that he's not a good shot blocker. Even if he gets shot blocks, it's mainly because he's big as hell. He's not fundamentally a good rim protector, and he's not fundamentally a good rebounder. But he's so freaking big, bro, that, like, he just – the game gravitates to him because he's so freaking big.
Like, well, I mean, introduce him to Desmond Bane because that night it felt like Bane's trying to throw the cross court. And he does that a lot on that go through. Yeah. And I realize it used to be Steven Adams, and maybe you don't make that pass. But and they were talking about that toward the end of preseason. We got to get him the ball more. We got this thing.
Yep.
It felt like Bane missed some opportunities to get him the ball. You got to feed that big boy.
I expect him to bounce back tonight. And I think if he's just on the court, if he's not getting in foul trouble, I think that he's going to have a good game he's so freaking big, bro. Like, it's so many easy baskets and easy rebounds. And I think they're kind of going to be intentional about kind of getting him going in this game. Because I know that Taylor Jenkins has probably said, hey, you know, we're going to play everybody and I'm trying to conserve the minutes. I think they're going to try to get him going to try to make the game a little that much easier. Because if we haven't, of course, we haven't seen that because he only played one game. But a guy like that who can just be a stop a stop valve guy like Zach Edey could be on his team could make things a lot easier for everybody. They can get him going early.
Real quick, what do you think of this Orlando team that we'll see Saturday night in Palo Banchero?
They're good.
On the rise in the East.
Yeah, you talk about like the L. That's the game I'm looking at worried about as being a loss, because that Orlando team is really good, and their coach has them playing really good defense. They got a lot of bigs on their team. Like, everybody's big. They're big everywhere. The guard situation is still kind of shaky to me with them. But
who did they just pay?
They paid a lot. They
was
paid
it Suggs.
They paid Suggs. They paid.
When you talk about the guards, I knew one of the good.
They paid everybody this offseason.
They paid Wendell Carter and they paid my boy from Germany.
Bronze.
Yeah, I said about the guards.
I like that team.
I knew one of the guards.
That
they brought in KCP.
I love that addition.
I like them, bro.
Year three of Paolo. I mean, man, if they get just a little shooting, bro.
Yep, they're taking me back to my middle school, Penny Hardaway, Orlando Magic.
Family. Yeah, they're
I
tough.
Like them. I like what they're doing.
I mean, plus, I think you're right. I mean, I would not be surprised if the Grizzlies are like plus one in that one.
And I want to say they beat us. I want to say we beat them here. Yeah, no, yeah. We beat them in the game when they were kind of on the rise.
Yeah, the Grizzlies were trying to tank.
And
they still won.
Yep,
I think Ingles missed the three at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that Magic team is like, you know, they're so young where they care about winning every game still, and that's what kind of would scare me a little.
You know what they need to do?
Pass Cleveland.
You know what the Orlando team needs to do for real?
What?
Wait for Golden State to come back to earth and implode, and they need to go hard at Steph Curry. Like, they need to go hard at Steph Curry, bro. Think about that, John Doe.
I mean, you think Steph would play in Orlando?
He ain't finna go out on no singing ship. Like, I understand the loyalty thing. He is not going to – because I don't think they're for real. I think that they're just – I think they tried super hard in the preseason to try to get some morale going. I don't think that Golden State team is good at all. I don't think they're I don't think they're going to be a playoff-level team. And I think as time goes on, they're going to start looking older and start looking worse.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean
– I don't think what they're doing is real at all.
I like some of their young pieces. I don't like all of them.
Mm.
I do love Pods and Trace Jackson Davis.
But if it falls apart, if I'm Orlando, I'm making a hard run at Steph Curry. And I'll trade – I would make – because that would make them, like, for real in the East. Because I think the East is wide open, bro. Like,
right.
I think –
past Boston.
I mean, it ain't too wide.
No, I mean, as far as like who's gonna be the team that
number two is open.
Number two is open. Yeah, I said that clearly wrong. But yeah, the number two team in the East is wide open. I think all those teams are contenders.
Just like the West.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell y'all a name.
Because Denver's falling way off, bro.
Like, if we talk about consolation trades for the Grizzlies or whatever, I'm gonna tell y'all a name. Like, Zach Kleiman, there are certain guys that he has on his list that I think he keeps on his list, bro. And I'll just say that as far as like
right
consolation is concerned, but yeah, it's a guy in the East that I would not be surprised if you hear the Grizzlies back involved with again, because I don't really think that project they're doing is going to work like people think it's going to.
Well, let me ask you this: do you get this jump shot? That
we're not talking about him.
Oh, we're not talking about him. Okay, mm-hmm. All right, interesting.
Keep thinking though.
All right,
there's a guy. If you wonder who I'm talking about, go check out Grind Season After Dark, After Hours. I mean, with me and my guy Chris Ingram. It's on the Bluff City Media Twitter, so go check that out if you want to see exactly who I'm talking about. Several guys I may be talking about. Oh, let me give another shout-out to my show today, man. I got our guy, UFC.
Danny Barlow.
Yeah, Danny Barlow is on the show tonight. Today, you can check it out anywhere on Bluff City Media.
The legend.
Yeah, Danny's a great guy, man. We had a really candid interview with him talking about his upbringing.
Westwood.
Westwood in the house, his time with... law school and his not actually
Brian
law
Hall.
School. Yeah, Brian Hall at law school and his journey to the UFC. Also talked about the Memphis Grizzlies, man, and how like why he respects that team so much, why he respects Ja Morant so much, and just, you know, some things for the future of the city of Memphis. So I had a great sit down with him. The entire show was just me and Danny talking sports and just talking about
that's excellent.
Talking to him and just talking about life for the Anthony Saints. So check that out anytime today on Bluff City Media YouTube. But of course you guys talked about 9-1 wrestling. Our next show, November 24th, at Minglewood Hall, the semifinals and the finals of the 9-1 Wrestling Classic will be on November 24th at Minglewood Hall. We're going to also have a six-man tag main event between the champion, Kevin Bless, is tagging up with Big Dave and Don Montana against Hunter Havoc, Bobby Ford, and Shane Schaffner, who had an attitude change. He turned his back on Kevin Bless at the last show. So there's going to be a six-man tag. Other matches will be announced when available. Tickets are on sale now. 901wrestling.com. Come check it out. Come see the best commentary team in Memphis Wrestling, myself and Kevin Cerrito. We put on a great show. It was a great show. Gabe had a great time. You guys were there for Gabe's birthday,
Chris loved Chris loved it.
Gabe said all the kids at school have been talking about it all this week. And
I do. Can John and I get the grappler on?
Does
the grappler talk?
He's a man of very few words.
John, you would love to have the grappler.
I'm gonna tell you, trust me on this one.
I don't know if he actually can talk though.
Yeah, he's a man of very few words, and I'm not sure he'll understand it. He's actually the guest. I think he'll just be glad to be in the room. I think he'll just be happy to be in the room with Jason and John and think he's part of the show. I don't think he'll understand that he's the one getting interviewed. Now, I'm going to tell you who y'all should talk to is a gentleman who, speaking of guys who I didn't know they could talk, there's a guy. He used to be Kevin Bless's manager. His name is Dorian Vane. Big guy came out with
a suit. Man, looked like Roman Reigns.
Yeah, big imposing guy came out, had a lot of words to say at Minglewood. He says he's here to prove some things, and he knows he's got some haters, man. He talked about all the people, the guys in the back. He talked bad about all the guys in the back, and he came out and he talked about the people in Midtown, called us Midtown Meatballs at the show because of our eating habits. there are a lot of unhealthy eating choices in the Midtown area, so he was, you know, giving us a hard time about that. That might be a guy that could be a good guest on your show.
I think he's
got a lot to say.
You're reminding me a lot, man, and God bless him, rest in heaven, of Corey Macklin, man, late, mm-hmm. how good a job you're doing, man, on this thing now. The only thing left, man, is I need to see you get slapped around a little bit. You know,
hey, man, they know it's part of my contract,
Sane,
man.
Will
it
not participate.
Me,
they'll touch Cerrito and rough him up, but Sane does not get touched.
I think Cerrito likes that type of stuff. I think Cerrito likes to get, you know, roughed up. Yeah, I think it's that type of stuff with him. I don't know. That ain't my thing. So
yeah, grown men stuff.
When they get to talking crazy, I just stay out of it, man. Cerrito likes to. But wait, you just said he's getting doing all that type of stuff instead of just letting them. I don't do all that. When they get their stuff off, I just let them get their stuff off, man.
Have you ever taken a date to Huey's? I know you were over there for music trivia
all
the other night. We take dates to Huey's, don't we?
Yeah, Huey's is good, man.
They got a lot of. It ended up being love.
And I got a new.
It's all publicity.
Yeah.
It's good publicity.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you were referencing that I do host music bingo at Huey's downtown. Each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. is a great time. We play music. It's regular bingo, except we're playing music instead of calling out numbers. It's a great experience. We do it in several places throughout the city. You can visit CerritoEntertainment.com to see where all they do that. Me and my guy, Kevin Cerrito, you might catch us anywhere in the city doing those type of things. So come check that out.
Making all the money.
You can see me there each and every Tuesday night. Yeah, I chase it, bro. If money stays still, I wouldn't chase it so bad. But I got to go get it because it ain't going to come get me, man, for sure. But Huey's is a great place for a date, man. Because
of course it is.
Me and Cerrito talked about this in depth. Like, we were just like, how can we, like, flip this, right? How can we flip this into some type of marketing thing? We was like, man, when you think about Huey's, it's a place where if you're a sports team that just had a game, you can come eat. If you're on a casual date, you can do that too. You can come watch a game because they got the bar there. It's typically pretty good parking there, as far as that goes. They're open late. You know what I mean? Like, Huey's is just a great spot to just do a lot of stuff.
If there's ever been a family bar, that's what Huey's
exactly.
is.
My
kid's been in Huey's.
That's what he said. He said Huey's is what places like Applebee's try to be, but Huey's is just local and actually is what these places like those type of things try to be. So I really enjoy Huey's, man. My latest item that I'm enjoying there is the Cobb salad, but I get that with salmon with it. That's good. I didn't even know that was on the menu.
You're getting real.
Oh, they call salad with the salmon. Serious, bro. But I get the wings a lot, the burgers, of course. I get the wings all the time. Their sweet tea is normally off the chain. I fool with Huey's, bro. I don't know what the UFO's on, but you know.
Huey's is comfort food.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff, man.
You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Memphis.
Oh,
staple.
The loaded fries with their ranch. I snout their ranch, bro, if I had to. Like, they ranch is off the chain, bro. So.
Yeah, I don't think you have to, but you could. You could. I'm sure Huey's would.
Hey, man, give me that mess with a straw, bro, for real.
Hey, that's, you know, by any means necessary.
But, yeah, Grizz is winning tonight, bro. Jai ain't losing to no team Dylan Brooks on.
Y'all, all right.
I like that's where you're headed.
We got that marked down. You have a parlay tonight yet?
Nah, man. I put my toe in the water, put my $10 in. I lost it. I'm done.
You know, Jason.
I'm done for the
year. You know, Jason kind of hit a bet last night.
For real?
Yeah.
You kind of hit a bet. What you mean?
I hit it through John. I told him to do it.
Oh, man. I might. I've been thinking about throwing a little something on Grizzly game night, a little $10, man, just see what it do.
Just for fun?
I ain't broke out here, man.
What's
you eating salmon on your car?
What do you call it, man? A tank of gas, bro. Get that tank of gas, man.
Try to turn that little 10 to a high 40, man. You a high 40, get you somewhere to eat.
Hey, if actually, especially
it'll get you where you're trying to go, for sure.
And it really feels more like 400 when you win it from gambling.
Oh, it's free money? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Go and put that over on Sengun points.
See, might think he for the kid. Ain't for the kid, Edie, bro.
Look, you could do both. You could do over Sengun. You could do over Edie.
I think I'd be betting like stuff like little small. I bet like four or five legs and stuff, little small stuff.
Yeah, just
trying to make my money do something. I'd probably do Sengun 15, 20, something like that on him.
Yeah, I like
Bane, 3 3-pointers. Ja.
Small investment,
20
big
points. 20 points for Ja, probably about 4 or 5 assists, something like that. Some light, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah,
my boy E ain't really where I need. I can't really gauge what he gonna do yet.
So let me ask you this: who's the rookie of the year?
Oh, Zach Eady.
It's still gonna be Zach. Everybody was bad. Even Reed Shepard. Everybody was bad.
Your boy
the first
Reed
game
Shepard,
out.
All of them. Ain't nobody doing
was bad. Start, he doesn't start. He was bad.
That's why he ain't gonna be rookie of the year.
Could it be? Could it be Reese Hache?
He wasn't good either.
Sorry. Super sorry. Which one is it? The white one or the black one?
They're both black. I thought.
Hell no.
The Wizard?
Regis ain't white? Black?
I think he's black.
Oh, this is my guy. Yeah, come on, man. Come on, Regis. Come on over. I ain't know that.
Oh, he's French black man.
Yeah.
He ain't black, bro. Regis is white, bro.
No, he's black.
Which one played for Atlanta? Is Regis?
Mm-hmm.
That dude black for real?
Yeah.
Pull him up.
I mean, he's the...
Hey, if you want to see something
he's
funny,
he's the darkest
man.
White dude I've ever seen in my life. If he's...
If you want to see something funny, bro,
no, I don't even type it right.
Go on the Anthony Sane show and type in Anthony Sane show Daniel Greer.
There is no way this dude is white.
And see the look on Daniel Greer's face when he found out that Isaiah Hartenstein wasn't white. Damn, he is black, ain't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Got some Mahomes.
I mean, he's mixed, but.
Score one for the brothers, man. I ain't even know that, man.
I know how that goes.
Come on back home. Come on back home, Ricochet.
You thought it was him.
Nah.
Sar? No. Let me see, bro. Let me see.
There's a picture of Zachary that's out there.
Score one for the brothers, man. We got another one, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so.
All rookie team, Ricochet, man. Come on, man.
So now his odds rose in rookie of the year, you would say.
I did not know the dude was black, bro. No.
You thought he was walking around here white as hell?
I thought he was white or something. I didn't think he was black.
All right, let's see. Let's see who the rookie of the year favorite is right now.
He's from France, huh?
It's still Zach Eady, yeah.
Zach Eady going to win it, bro.
Plus 390. Reed Hache plus 650. Reed Shepard plus 700. Dalton Connect 800.
Dalton Connect good, though.
You think he got a chance? He does. He's a bench guy.
Everybody that I wanted for the Grizzlies, they were.